From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Lindsay Brolini with the latest. Over the weekend, Juneau High School students in a career and technical program held a turkey shoot fundraiser. It's not what you think. KTOO's Jennifer Pemberton was there and can attest that no turkeys were harmed at the event.
The stage is set outside the gym at Juneau Douglas High School, Yada'akatle. There's a hay bale and a lush scenic backdrop with foliage that looks more like Costa Rica than Southeast Alaska. And waiting for someone to sidle up next to her and smile is a beautiful flightless bird.
Get your photos taken.
Yeah.
This is Penny.
Penny is white with flecks of black at the tip of each feather.
Like an owl. A snowy owl. It's a snow turkey.
That's my four-year-old. We're here for our photo shoot with Penny, who is not a snow turkey. She's a royal palm turkey, an ornamental breed. But he's right that that's exactly what her plumage looks like. Donations for the privilege of posing with Penny go to a program called Ignite, which introduces students to career and technical programs at the high school. Gabe Hansen is a junior at the school and part of the club.
We're kind of a weird club. We're a bit, I don't say underfunded. We just spend a lot on feeding birds and rabbits and what we do.
Juneau is not known as an agricultural hotbed, but in addition to raising animals, students work on construction projects. They made a goat barn and a swinging door for the school's library. They learn how to manage money and each other's time.
Management, because you got to get all the people down here to feed the animals when it's their time. Otherwise, you know, animals don't get fed, which isn't great for them.
Eva Sturm is a senior and has been involved in the program throughout her career at the school.
And we also emphasize on like kind of getting like girls, women into this, which is really nice because it's kind of without like the toxic environment of a lot of our trade classes.
Welcome. Go have a seat.
A family of four sets up on the hay bale. Penny nestles right in with them and looks like part of their family. Kaplan Anderson is the student's advisor.
I have this issue with Southeast Alaska because there's not enough agriculture, and so kids are like freaked out by things that they eat every day. So it's exciting to see some kids that are just like ready to snuggle a turkey.
Anderson tells the family they can take their masks off, and then you can really see their smiles. Ashlyn King is the one handling Penny. She's actually raising the turkey at home.
I think that's kind of a lot of what we do is showing people animals that they may not get to see on a regular basis.
Attention is on the exotic bird, but something catches my eye. A great blue heron flies right over us.
Oh, like that heron that just flew over.
Yeah. More people have seen herons than turkeys. It's wild.
That is certainly the case with my kid, who has seen hundreds of bald eagles at once, but never seen a turkey.
I thought the turkey was gonna be a turkey you'll eat. I thought it was gonna be the meat that was, had eyes and a mouth.
Meat with eyes and a mouth?
Yeah.
So now, in addition to venison and salmon, at least my kid knows where turkey meat comes from. I think Penny and the Ignite students did their job. In Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton.
Along the seawalk at Overstreet Park in downtown Juneau, you'll now see a 20-foot aluminum canoe. The large sculpture was created by Tlingit artist Robert Mills with money from the Juneau Cares Artwork Grant. I talked with the artist to find out more. Robert Mills says his head is always up in the clouds, dreaming about projects. This canoe was one of those dream projects. The canoe is all aluminum, a silver outline of a boat with formline designs on the bow and stern. From the seawalk, the shiny metal stands out against the mountains on Douglas and the Gastineau Channel. The canoe is a representation of Tlingit society. On one level, it represents the vessel that Tlingit people used to travel. On another, it represents the binary of eagle and raven, and being in harmony with the opposite clan. On a third level, he says it represents the world we live in today.
Because, you know, certainly coming out of some very contentious times in society where we have seen some of the worst ills of humanity kind of play themselves out, that void is represented in the canoe sculpture by the negative space that normally would possess the body of the canoe.
In creating Formline, Mills says that the negative space is used to help fill the positive. He compares the principle to this period of the pandemic and hopes that in their own lives, people use the negative to help shape the positive. Throughout Mills's life, whether it was growing up in cake or commercial fishing, he always found ways to make do with what he had. and he says that mentality applied to making this canoe.
It was a lot of research and development as far as applying what pressure, where, at what points, at how many pounds, you know, bending it one way, going back the other, just, man, it was a lot.
He partnered with fabricator Brian Crapo to mold the metal and bring the piece to life. The completed canoe, named Yadachun, hasn't had a permanent home until now. It spent some of the pandemic in an empty store at the Nugget Mall. It was most recently at Centennial Hall, where it served as a backdrop for musicians who performed at the Indigenous Music Festival Rock Auk. Now the canoe is being permanently installed along the walkway in Overstreet Park at the original mouth of the Gold Creek, or Tsantikihini.
You know, I think it's pretty fitting in that at one point it used to possess many, many, many canoes.
In the past couple years, the city has been investing more in Native public art, with the Elizabeth Paradovich mural, the form line signs throughout downtown, and now this canoe. Mills says it's important to highlight Native artists, especially as they have been historically suppressed in their own lands.
You know, when you grow up not seeing some of this art form that resides in, you know, some of the finest art collections in the history of the world, Tlingit art stands next to them, and yet growing up you don't see that in your own homeland.
Mills says gaining more representation in art is a step in the right direction. With more Native public art, Native children can look up at these works and be inspired to become artists themselves one day. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini. A favorite Alaska Kids TV show is getting two episodes in Alaska Native languages. Molly of Denali has been airing in English since 2019. Now the Doyon Foundation is working to dub two episodes of the show into the Gwich'in and Koyukon languages. Robin from KUAC reports.
The Language Revitalization Program of the Doyon Foundation put out a call for actors who can speak two of the languages of the region. The foundation is working with GBH Boston, which produces the fictional PBS cartoon Molly of Denali, to create episodes representing all the real Mollies out there.
Hey everyone, it's me, Molly!
Molly of Denali!
Alan Hayton, the Language Revitalization Program Director, says the episodes of the show called King Run and Grandpa's Drum will be dubbed into Gwich'in.
We did have quite a number of auditions. I've been reviewing those, and we were able to nail down the Gwich'in cast. We're still working on the second cast, the Danaka or Koyukon.
Children have been cast in the lead roles. Linnea Frank will play Molly, and Adriel Guinness will play her friend Tui. Cast members are getting ready to rehearse to perfect the language pronunciations and the emotions of the stories. Then they will record the voices, which incidentally will be at KUAC's radio studio.
We'll have to make sure it times out as well, because Athabascan language, it's very different than English, and a word in Athabascan could be a full sentence length, especially the verbs. So you have to time it with the actual animation, because we can't change that. That's going to stay the same.
When the Gwich'in audio is correctly timed with the animation, the tracks will be sent to Atomic Cartoons in Vancouver, Canada, who will integrate the audio into the existing Molly of Denali episodes. Hayton says he's consulted on the show and trusts the folks in British Columbia and Boston to represent Alaska faithfully.
They do a really good job at WGBH in integrating culture and making sure that they vet things, including all those cultural elements that maybe most people would miss, but people that are here in Alaska watching the show, they definitely notice.
The cartoons will be used in Doyon Region language revitalization efforts. The Danaka or Koyukon group chose the episodes Have Canoe Will Paddle and Main Game, and the cast for those episodes will be chosen soon. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
It's the second holiday season of the COVID-19 pandemic, but this year has one major difference, if you ask the state's top doctor.
We have vaccine this year versus last year we didn't. That's a really big game changer.
In a media call last week, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink told reporters the vaccine has taken a burden out of holiday planning by allowing families to gather together more safely. Dr. Zink recommends over-the-counter COVID tests if someone in your holiday gathering is immunocompromised or if there will be a large group of people. She says some of her family was initially skeptical about how easy they'd be to use, but now they're converts. She says she won't be home with them for Thanksgiving this year, however.
My Thanksgiving isn't going to be as fun as probably others. I'll be working in the emergency department, partially because my colleagues are really getting a chance to partner and to be with their families, which they haven't been able to be. And so covering for them so they can gather with their families.
The state's health department recommends avoiding crowded indoor spaces, wearing a mask around anyone who has a weakened immune system, and staying home if you are sick.